It is my great joy today to open God's Word with you, and I trust you have a copy of God's Word. Won't you grab that and turn to the book of Colossians chapter 1, where we're going to be at for a few moments today. Colossians chapter 1, and we'll get excited about this God that we are serving when we dig deep into His Word and seek the will of Him that who saved us and called us to live for His glory. Colossians chapter 1, I'm reading from verse number 9 and following on to verse number 14. I'm reading from His Word today. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The Lord bless the reading of His Word. Let us pause for prayer. Father, what we know not, teach us. What we have not, give us. What we are not, make us. I pray this in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We are excited today to open God's Word, and as I do that, last week was a monumental day for us at Olive Baptist Church. We have launched our new campus in the west side of town in Warrington, and today they are joining us via live simulcast. So we want to welcome the Warrington campus, our family, with a great team leading our family there at Warrington. We are grateful that you could join us today. And perhaps you are seated on a couch somewhere, listening to this message on your phone, or maybe on television, on your computer, or sometimes you just stumble upon the radio station and you are listening to this. You have stumbled on it, or you have intentionally switched it on because you want to take your next step towards Jesus Christ. You have gathered today here in our main campus, also at the Warrington campus, because you want to know Jesus more and more. And I pray today that our time around God's Word will help you take that next step to who Jesus is, to who this wonderful God we've been singing about and rejoicing from the time we woke up today with an extra hour of sleep. Amen. So today we look into God's Word, and you are here today because you want to know Christ more and more. There is some hunger and thirst in your soul, those of you who know Him, that you seek to grow in His ways. If you don't know Him, you are seeking who this Jesus the world is pointing to is the answer for this world today. So I pray today your time with us via simulcast, via your television or your phone to a radio station, and also those listening here today, that you will be helped today. May the power of the Holy Spirit draw you closer to take your next step towards who Jesus is. In the 17th century, it was a gentleman's hobby to have a deep interest in theology. They always gathered around to talk about who this great God is. And one can know a great deal about godliness without knowing much knowledge of who our God is. I want to reiterate today that if you want to know about godliness, you got to pause and look at who God is. If you want a deep understanding of holiness, you got to pause and look at who Jesus Christ is. I pray today as we go through God's Word that you will be helped. You will be helped in making a right step towards truly growing in your relationship in Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, I pray that you will help us today. We want to look at four attributes of a people who know their God. Four attributes of a people who know their God. I want to use my time very wisely today, so let's go straight to it. I think our appetite has already been made ready with a wonderful time of worship. Number one, a people who know their God. Number one, those who know God have a great energy for God. Those who know God have a great energy for God. Because people who know their God are, before anything else, people who pray. When I was preparing this message and reading about it, many times we don't associate energy and prayer. Whenever we want to pray, we use these words: let me take a few moments to pray. Let's just pray. From God's word, prayer is hard work. Prayer is intense conversation with the God who created the heavens and the earth. And if you are a people who know your God, then I want to remind you that we those who know God, should have a great energy for God, and that energy is praying. Let me remind us this morning, God isn't a slightly bigger, slightly smarter version of us. Believe that, and it will actually transform the word of prayer in your life. You see, God is just not slightly bigger, slightly smarter version of us. Because the more knowledge you gain about who our God is, the more energy you place in prayer and communing who this God is. And if you claim to know God, I want to encourage you that you should have great energy to spend time with the God whom you believe in. So where are you spending your energy? Are you spending your energy on things that don't matter in this world? Are you spending your energy with the one who came to die for you, that you may live on this side of heaven for him and live for eternity, singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty"? If you claim to know this God, you put your energy and pray. Oswald Chambers wrote this: prayer does not equip us for greater works. Prayer is greater work. The disciples fell asleep when they were asked to watch and pray. They never fell asleep anywhere else. Jesus fell asleep in the boat, remember? The disciples fell asleep when they were called to pray. Because prayer requires energy. Prayer requires attention. Prayer requires diligence. Prayer requires discipline. And if you know the God that we sang about today, holy, holy, holy is his name. There is power in his name. There is healing in his name. There is salvation in his name. There is life in his name. Then we need to come and commune with who this God is. And that requires energy. I'm afraid we're burning our candle of energy on many things of this world, but at the feet of Jesus. And Paul is writing to the church in Colossians. He's teaching them against false teachers. He's teaching them some theology. You see, you can have all the theology in the world, but if you do not pray, you don't know God. Because if you know God, you seek every opportunity to be with him, to be in communion with him, to be in the closet with him, trusting him, relying on him, asking him for direction on our lives. I'm afraid that we have lost the essence of prayer. As soon as a tragedy happens in this world, we call for prayer. Why does tragedy need to call us to prayer? The breath that we breathe this very second should call us to prayer. So Scripture is reminding us from God's word From the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you. Paul is continuously praying in a prison cell for the church that he planted. Intense prayer. And prayer must be full of energy. Prayer must be full of excitement. Prayer must be full of trust. Those of you who know this living God should burn your energy in prayer. Not the last resort, the first resort. We have a tendency, you know, of making the Trinity a quartet. You are not invited to the table of the Trinity. God does not need your help and my help. God created the heavens and the earth. I think he's pretty sure how your life needs to be. And so most of the time, what we do is we invite ourselves to the Trinity and make it a quartet. And we want to have a rationalization, or we want to have input so God can lead us in the direction we should go. The only input you have is obedience. If you say you know this God, we got to pray like we know this God. We got to believe like we know this God can do great and mighty things. We got to believe there is power in his name. We got to believe there is healing in his name. Oh, we got to believe there is salvation in his name. And today, I call you to believe. Psalm 20 and verse number 7. Whenever the psalmist write on prayers, Psalm 20, they write as if it already happened. They are praying for their king to go into war. They are praying a prayer of thanksgiving before the king actually takes his troops and engage in battle. Further down in verse number 7 of Psalm 20, the psalmist writes, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of our Lord. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. Could it be that we have placed our trust in chariots than our Christ? Could it be that we are burning our energy in weapons than worship? Some trust in chariots and some in horses. I bid you today, trust in the name of the Lord, the maker of the heavens and the earth. The God we know is a God where we want to burn our energy living for him in a life of prayer. Not praying when you are almost asleep. When I was a young Christian, I fell asleep on the side of my bed while I was praying. Not because I was very spiritual, because I gave the Lord my most tired part of the day. I could not even say amen. My words babbled. I can't remember what I prayed. And sadly, in my early walk, I gave the best to a world and my worst to my Savior. I gave the worst time and the worst energy of my life to talk to a God who died for me. And I gave my energy to the world that I was chasing. If you know this God we are talking about, I bid you have great energy for God. If you have great energy for God in prayer, you will have great energy for God to live for him. The God we know. And Paul is reminding the church in Colossae, this is the God whom you've trusted in. Olive Baptist Church, our Warrington campus, this is a God that we have trusted in. And hands off, God is going to lead us. But number two, that this God that we know, number two, those who know God have great thoughts about God. Look at what verse number 10 says. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing in the knowledge of God. If you want a great understanding of who our God is, then look into His Word. God's Word is made available to us. God's Word is made available with various formats in our phones, on the radios, on the television, on the computer. Go into God's Word. Those who know God have great thoughts about God. You bring back to memory and meditate on the Word of God. Our God is sovereign, and everything about who He is woven into Scripture. And as soon as you pick the Word of God, wow, He talks about this great God. And if you claim that you know God, then you must know God and have great thoughts about God. Meditate on His Word, His wisdom, His might, His truth. It all rules throughout history, and Paul is reminding the church at Colossians that you should have an increasing in the knowledge of God experience, that you should have a daily diet of what the Word of God is teaching us. Spend time with the Word of God. Spend time with the Word of God. If we take all our knowledge in this room and those who's watching online and put it all together, we will still fall short of who our God is. There's some pretty heavy weights in this room. We know a lot about God, far be it from the truth. We didn't even scratch the surface of who this King is. We come to worship by faith. If you say you know God, but those who know God have great thoughts about God, the knowledge of God is a deep and thorough knowledge of the will of God. That we can grow in His name, that we can grow in who He is, that we can grow in our life. How do you know that you are growing? How do you know that you are growing? It's not indicated by the attendance of coming to church. These are some of the ways, a deeper love for God's Word, Psalm 119, verse 97. How do I know that I'm growing? A more perfect obedience, 1 John 2, 3 and 5. How do you know that I'm growing? A strong doctrinal foundation, 1 John chapter 2. How do I know that I'm growing? An expanding faith, 2 Corinthians 10, 5. How do I know that I'm growing? A greater love for others, Philippians 1, 9. When you spend time in God's Word, He calls you to love others. When you spend time in God's Word, He calls you to grow in your faith. When you spend time in God's Word, it causes you to be more obedient. God's Word does. And if you say that you know God and you want to grow in Him, then you should have thoughts about God. May our thoughts about God outweigh the worries of this world that we so often think about. Meditate on these things. Grow in these things, the things of God, the things of this Creator God, that you and I have a slight glimpse of coming to understand through the power of the Holy Spirit who this God is that loves the world so much that He sent His one and only Son so that you and I can live and He will die. I want to know this God, Paul says. I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection. And if anybody ever could say, I know enough about God, I think Paul would qualify. But it says all these qualifications I had, I count them rubbish. So that I may know Christ. So that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection. So I may not settle of knowing one memory verse for all my life. So I'll give my discipline in knowing this God. And this God, the thoughts of this God will saturate my mind. And every time when the enemy comes to attack me, I recall the Word of God and it's used as a weapon towards the enemy. This Word of God. Paul reminds the Colossian church, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Colossians 3:16. Richly. If you say, we know this God. Those who know God have great energy for God. Those who know God have great thoughts about God. But those who know God show great boldness for God. great boldness for God. Read with me in verse number 11. May you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. If you know this God, those who know God show great boldness for God, strengthened with all power. Allow me to read, this is a short paragraph of the book that Pastor Traylor is meeting with us to go over. Yes, we have a book club. Man, this book club is wrecking us. I don't know about, where's John? This book club is wrecking us. Let me just read a short stanza from The Saving Life of Christ, written by Major Ian Thomas. Maybe you say, oh, my Christian life is dull and boring to me. I read my Bible only out of a sense of duty. I tell you that if the Christian life has become dull and boring to you, it is simply because you will not go in to possess what God has given you in Jesus Christ. You have never tasted the thrill and adventure of being totally abandoned to the one who will lead you through glory and victory. How can we say we are bored in this Christian walk? It's perhaps we do not, are we missing the thrill of living for Jesus every day? I see living for Jesus as an adventure every day. I don't know who I'm going to meet, but I'm sure I know the message when I meet that person, I'm going to deliver it to him. And as we read this chapter, it talks about total abandonment, bold trust, bold obedience, bold being fearless. What happened to the tribe of living boldly for Jesus? Oh, what have happened to that tribe? Throughout Scripture, we see God in action. Let me just remind ourselves today. In the beginning, God created. That's a bold entrance. God speaks to Moses through the burning bush. Go speak to Pharaoh and ask him to let my people go. That's bold. You are in the desert. I want you now to go talk to the leader of the Egyptians. God parted the Red Sea. Now that is bold. He said to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Paraphrase, be bold and courageous. He worked through David when he went to face Goliath. You come against me with sword and spear, but I come against you in the name of the Almighty God. That's bold. Jesus is born of a Virgin Mary. That's a bold entrance to the human race. Jesus is crucified. He was raised to life. The empty tomb is the epicenter of our boasting, those of us who believe in him. He gave his disciples these last words, go and make disciples. Basically, he told the disciples, be bold and change the world. Sean Pillay paraphrase, follow Christ and help others follow Christ, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and lo, I will be with you always. What is not bold about those statements? Everything is bold, full of power, full of victory, full of energy, making a great, great difference in the world. It's all through Scripture. Whenever Jesus said something, it was a bold statement. Bold statement. You cast the first stone. Bold statement. The water I would give you, you'll thirst no more. Bold statement. Oh, what happened to that bold, Christ-following community in this world today? Our church is in a great place, following a great leader. Our new campus is launched. We are being bold to go into Warrington and let the people of Warrington know who Jesus is. We are being bold in our relaunch target so that our next generation will be proclaimers of the gospel. We are bold. Pastor Ted Taylor is bold. He's leading us in a challenge. This is a great time, my friend, to get the dust out of our Bibles. Get on our knees and say, I want to be bold for Jesus. Or else you will see everyone else excited around you and you'll be left behind, not experiencing the joy of who our God is. A couple of weeks ago, we sang this song, When I Think About the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me from the uttermost, how he picked me up and turned me around, how he placed my feet on solid ground. It makes me wanna, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. It makes me wanna, it doesn't make me wanna whisper. If you sing that song, when I think about the Lord, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me from the uttermost, it makes me wanna whisper, hallelujah. You are in the wrong place. You know a different God. If you know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he'll make you wanna, hallelujah. That's what I'm talking about. You and I need to live a life of boldness because everything about our God is boldness. He made a statement in this world where that the cross was just a transition of his life. The cross is empty. The tomb is empty. We boast about this God who conquered the grave. You and I should live this life of boldness. If you say you know him. When we were kids, we used to sing the song, This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine. You sang that song? There's a line says, do not hide it under the... I think some of you need to take your light under that. You can't live a bold life if your light is under a bowl. You can't. You may fool everybody else. You can live a bold life when you take your light from under the bowl and live for the glory of Christ. That's bold living for our bold God. Number four, the God we know. Those who know God have great contentment in God. Verse number 13 and 14. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Those who know this God have great contentment in God because there is no other way. Jesus is enough. You don't have to search anymore. You don't have to trust anything else. Jesus is enough. He has transferred us from death to life. J.I. Packer wrote about knowing God, there is no peace like the peace of those whose minds are possessed with full assurance that they have known God and God has known them and that this relationship guarantees God's favor on them in life, through death, and forever. God knows you. He knows you by name. He knows the number of hair strands on your head. So if you brushed your hair this morning, he knows which number is on the hairbrush at home. It's not counted, the word says. It's numbered. The word counted, then God will say you have 5,000 strands of hair on your head. But numbered, he knows every number. So at home today, maybe number 4, number 7, number 99 is lying on your hairbrush. That's what the Word of God teaches us. Well, some of them give God an easy job, you know. Thank you for helping our God. But if you know God, You should have great contentment in God, because Jesus is enough. Therefore, we have been justified by faith. We have peace in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Please come next week. Pastor is preaching on Romans chapter 8. You don't want to miss it. The work of Christ, he brought us from death to life. He did not take us from good to make us better. When we say we are good, Christ made us better, we relegate the work of Christ on the cross. There's no one good. No, not one, Scripture tells us. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You are not a good person if you don't know Jesus. That's a tweet. You are not a good person if you don't know Jesus. According to Scriptures, all fall short of the glory of God. And so God the Father sent his one and only Son to die in our place, to make dead people alive, not good people better. We relegate the gospel when you say, I was good without Christ, now my life is better. You don't know the gospel. ABC, admit, believe, confess. We need to admit that we are sinners. We fall far short of the glory of God. We miss the mark. We miss the mark. Pastor and I went out to shoot a few revolvers. I think it's the second or third time I shot those. I think they call them a revolver. And since we set the target, I have it in my office, matter of fact. And so Pastor was trying to shoot the target, and he gave me the gun. And I'm terrified of guns. And so I'm looking at the target, and I'm trying to shoot the target. There was a lady watching me from the back. Now, she got a shot, I'm telling you. So I'm trying to hit this target, man. I'm missing every shot. The lady comes up and say, Dr. Traylor, yes, I thought that was you. By the way, if that guy going to be a bodyguard, you're going to be in deep trouble. I said, I lay my weapons down. I'm like... You see, you and I miss the mark every day. Every day. You think you hit the mark? No, you didn't. Jesus hit the mark. That's why he came to die for us. And our life should be content in him. Our life should be content in him. Jesus is enough. The cross stands as a beacon of hope for you and for me. That death will not keep us in the ground. Because it could not keep Jesus in the ground. And if you today want to believe in this Jesus, that death could not keep him in the ground, you will move from death to life and live for him and for his glory. But the truth of the matter is, we will never see Jesus seated on the throne of our lives until we get out of that seat. We will never see Jesus seated on the throne of our lives until we get up out of that seat. These people who know God, those who know God, have great energy for God. Let's be a people of bold prayer. Those people who know God have great thoughts about God. Let his word fill our hearts and minds. Those who know God should show great boldness for God, living as light in this world. And those who know God should have great contentment in God because of his Son, Jesus Christ. Let me help you take your next step today. Perhaps you are here today, you know Jesus, but you just don't know how to live for him. You're just living a sheltered life. Let me remind you. You will live the most abundant life when you take your candle out of that bowl and say, I'm a child of God. If you want to join a church, join today. If you are watching at Warrington, if you're looking for a church, join today. This is a place where you can grow up in the things of God with the bold people who's following a bold leader doing great things for God. Or perhaps you're seeking the Savior. Won't you take your next step today? You heard about him. We sang about him. But today, won't you experience him?